Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week on this overcast day, or at least down here in Rutherford County, it's overcast. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel will speak at 12:30 today. We will carry that live for you. We'll hear his reaction after their first loss of the season to the Steelers. Next up will be the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll also head east to start the third hour and bring in Vince Ferrara talking about the Vols' loss. That's now three in a row, their loss to Alabama over the weekend. But right now we talk with TD. Teron Davenport is on the line with us. He can be heard talking with TD. His podcast drops on Wednesdays. Nate and TD on Fridays during the 6 o'clock hour. A lot going on with Teron, and plus he's the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com covering the Tennessee Titans. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, man. It's a rainy day, but it's all good.
Okay, so it's raining in your... Okay, so that's what the overcast is here. So it's raining at your place.
You know what? Looking out the window, it stopped raining. It's still gray. It makes me feel like I'm in Seattle. But, you know, I woke up, so I won. That's really the thing that you have to look at.
And maybe it's just a little bit of a carryover over of yesterday's game. Let's just start with what we've been touching on a lot in the first hour. And let me just get your assessment today of where you think they are with Steven Gostkowski, as he's missed 6 field goals and 2 extra points on the season. Do you think that there is real concern in that building, or do you think they're just rolling with him and saying, this is our guy and we've got to deal with it? It finally bit us in the you-know-what, but we're good. Where do you think they are with him?
You know what? I wrote an article last week calling Mike Vrabel the sly fox, and I think what he needs to do, anytime they're in field goal position, take penalties until it's a 50-yard or more field goal. I say that jokingly, and the reason why I say that is because Gostkowski is almost – well, actually, he's perfect from 50-plus. But you get that guy between 40 and 49, and something just seems to fall apart. So I think that's where the concern is. His misses have for the most part, come from there. He did miss – I think he did miss one 50-yarder, but – regardless, at this point, there has to be some question because there's been a lot of misses. If I'm not mistaken, he's bottom of the NFL as far as percentage is concerned.
That's correct.
So,
yep,
he is. And the league, I was just looking at this, the league average this year is right about where it's been. If you look, most years, the last 5 or 6 years, if you're not hitting about 84, at least 83%, you're going to be well below average. He's at 62%, so he is dead last. I'm even trying, Teron, to give him, you know, the first game was the nightmare. He got through it. It had been better since then. But the last 2 weeks, a lot of concern.
Yeah, I mean, there is concern. But see, here's the thing. What are you going to get out there? That's the problem. What's out there to get that will be better than what you have right now?
That is the question, and I don't know the answer. But if the league average is 84.6%, everybody in the league, including the guys that are struggling, combined for 84.6%, it does kind of say maybe there is somebody that's better. I'd like to think that he'll get better, but I mean, in my mind, I thought that they had the right guy. He'll work it out. He'll get better as the season goes along. But it's a dilemma. I think he's fine this week, Teron. You tell me. I think he's fine this week. But if it's a problem again, they may have to try to make – they might have to try somebody else.
Does anybody – I know people typically don't ask Teron about backup kickers, but does anybody know, like, truly how they feel about Tucker McCann?
I mean, they seem to like him. They've protected him on their practice squad multiple times, but I don't know that you go from Goskowski to McCann, because here's the thing. Once you go from Goskowski to another player, you're opening yourself up to that revolving door, and you saw what happened last year. So it's a catch-22 for that franchise, to be honest with you. You want to try to have confidence in the kicker, and remember, they have a couple million dollars invested in him. But then at the same time, in a situation like this from yesterday, he has to make that 45-yarder. And it didn't happen. It's not all on Goskowski. He's not the reason why they lost the game, but it still was one of the phases that heavily contributed to it. At the same time, you know, when you go back to Kairos Santos and all the other guys that they had in that rotation, Cody Parkey, and you keep having a revolving door, it's just that's absolutely asking for disaster.
Yeah, special teams was not a good thing yesterday for them. Between the missed field goal, the botched snap to Kern, the return by Pittsburgh, the botched play by Raymond. Overall, special teams did not fare well yesterday.
No, they didn't at all, and that's something that Mike Vrabel mentioned is one of the three phases in which they weren't able to execute effectively. And when you have issues like that in all three phases, this is what happens. You end up in the L side of the win-loss column. That's basically what it boils down to.
Are you surprised? You do a lot on the board. You know, you study film. Are you surprised that they are having so much problem getting off the field as a defensive unit, especially in third down situation, third and long situations? They're struggling so much.
Honestly, no. If you look at the film, look at how many times third and long receivers are getting just a free release off the ball. There's no disruption at the line, and I get it. They're playing a lot of zone more recently. But, you know, you can't have a receiver just release right into his route, be able to run his route exactly like it's drawn up on paper, and it makes it so much easier for the quarterback. So, no, I'm not surprised at all, because I'm seeing that, and it's just it's like I said, it's making it easy. And then there are issues as well, as we know, getting to the quarterback, at least getting home and bringing him down. Those are issues. Fortunately, Jeffrey Simmons, for their sake, is doing a good job of getting his hands up and you know, knocking balls down. But it's going to have to get better. It doesn't surprise me. I went back and watched the game from yesterday, and their third down defense did get a bit better later in the game. But if you look at that last drive that the Steelers had, they were, what, three for four on third downs on that drive. Took up 7 minutes.
Yep.
And it's got to be deflating for the whole team to sit there and watch that.
You know, a lot of teams pin their ears back and just come after you on third and long spots. So that's probably something that surprised me. Maybe you'll think differently, that they don't try to, you know, blitz a little bit more in those spots.
You got to trust your coverage guys to do that. And I'm not so sure that they have full trust. I will say this. Malcolm Butler had a really good game yesterday. He put clamps on Chase Claypool. He did a really good job in coverage and even run support and just tackling overall. So I will give him credit for that. But there is still a lot to be desired. Hopefully for their sake, you know, with Adoree coming back, and them being confident in his coverage ability, they could get back to that man defense that they were using a lot earlier this year, even without Adoree. And that will allow you to send more guys. And you could do that blitz. You could pin your ears back and go get the quarterback, as you had mentioned.
Teron Davenport is with us, covers the Titans for ESPN. You can hear him every week talking with TD. Tremendous insight. Teron, I want to go back to something you said, trusting the coverage guys and not really sure what you're getting from the front four. It's a tough dilemma to be in. So am I wrong in thinking, as you said, you know, they're playing fairly soft. They're trying not to give up big plays. And so what's happening, even going back to the Buffalo game, they're giving up some long, sustained drives. They have gotten their share of turnovers. But am I wrong in thinking that they've almost gone to sort of a bend but don't break kind of philosophy for the time being until they can get more heat?
They've been bend but don't break for the last 2 years, honestly. That's basically what they were with Dean Pease, except for in the red zone they were able to buckle down and force field goals or get a turnover instead of a touchdown. And that's another thing to mention, their red zone defense is very subpar as well. And it's not only playing off coverage, but when you play off coverage, look at Deontay Johnson's touchdown. His second one, I believe it was, and he also got a first down, a key first down in the game this way also. Third and seven, third and eight, a slant. And, okay, if you're going to play off, stay over top of the slant. But what ended up happening is he was able to change direction or break a tackle,
yes,
and score a touchdown or get that first down. So it's unacceptable, to be honest with you. And a lot of people want to point to the play calling. And, yeah, I get that. But there's also execution that has to happen as well. So it's just it's a double-edged sword for them, where there's failure on multiple levels.
I'm also not seeing – you mentioned in the last couple of years you can say that they are more or less bend but don't break anyway, but they had the timely blitz where it would seem like at the right time, here comes Logan Ryan or somebody. It was Roberson late in the season. They haven't had him. But they haven't seemed to be able to dial up anything as even a change of pace to find a way to get heat on the quarterback. I just never felt like Ben Roethlisberger was worried that they wouldn't be able to run the offense. It looked like he was running 7-on-7 most of the day.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I will say against Houston, you did see some blitzes there coming from the secondary. They've used Kenny Vaccaro pretty well, especially on blitzes, but it wasn't really existent yesterday. I agree with you there, and it's just something that you can't allow a quarterback, especially a veteran quarterback like Roethlisberger, with those guys that he has at his disposal, you can't allow those guys to just get free releases and to get somewhat comfortable in the pocket. And that has to change. And if it takes blitzing more, then it might just take blitzing more. And you're just going to have to trust your guys. But again, it goes back to Adoree Jackson coming back. That's going to be huge. But Christian Fulton, he also had a pretty solid day of coverage, at least when he was out there. He has the MRI that he was getting today, so who knows what's going to happen with that, with the knee, you know, that kept him out of the second half.
How concerned are you about Clowney and his injury? It looked bad when he first went off the field, then the next thing you know, he's back in there. Is there a concern there?
There should definitely be a concern, but it did seem like he was able to get back in there and start to play like himself. But he's been plagued by a knee over the last couple weeks, and it did cost him a few practices. So I think that concern level should be there. But here's the thing. When he was signed, this was supposed to be, okay, this is what that team needed. This is going to put that defense over the edge. And I'm not saying it's solely his fault, but he's a part of that group collectively. They're not playing up to par. It's the bottom line. That offense is a top five offense. Entering yesterday's game, they were top two. They were ranked second in the league in multiple categories. It's being squandered by a lot of these failures on the defensive side of things. Although the offense has had its struggles on special teams as well.
Last thing for me, Teron, again, looking at the, you know, sort of the general sense that I try to approach the game from, I'm thinking, as you said, the Clowney signing supposed to put you over the top. I'm thinking he's going, even if he doesn't get the sacks, he's going to draw the attention, the double teams, and other people will have good matchups. What are you seeing specifically? I mean, somebody's got to be singled up, right? And nobody other than maybe Simmons, who is disruptive, he gets the big paws up there, he gets deflections, and he's got a good push. But other than that, I'm just not seeing anybody show up. and they can't all be getting double teamed, right?
There's not really any double teams going on, to be honest with you, and that's a part of the issue. They're trying to move Clowney around. If you look at that game yesterday, the first three snaps on defense, he played three different positions. So they're working to try to get that guy in position to make the plays that, he's known for making, but it's just not happening. Although it's disappointing at this point, I wouldn't say to cancel Christmas, because there's going to be that game where he's going to dominate. And you're going to be, okay, that's exactly what this team was looking for. And that's something that they could build off of, is just being as though there was so much hoopla and so much attention and everything being paid towards him being signed. There's not really patience. And you can't really have patience in this league, because you know what it is. It's not for long. What have you done for me lately? And unfortunately, you know, for the Titans, it hasn't been that much from Clowney, and even most of the guys are along the front, with the exception of Simmons.
We're talking to Teron Davenport of ESPN, covers the Titans for them. Also talking with TD, Nate and TD on Friday nights. Really enjoyed this last week's show on Friday night. A lot of with Steelers week, I figured you guys would bring out all the stops, but let's look at the offense. Now that Corey Davis, and Nate and I actually talked about this on our post-game Facebook yesterday, Corey Davis is playing with some confidence, and he's making those plays that you need him to make. How much is that going to open up, maybe not open up, but add some wrinkles to the playbook for Arthur Smith, having a true number one, number two, however you want to put it, on the field at the same time?
It's huge, because just being able to spread the football around makes it a lot tougher to stop that offense. And I think that's what you're starting to see. And with Corey Davis, you're right. He is playing with confidence. He is making those contested catches. And it's good to have that guy that, if all the coverage is rolling towards A.J. Brown, wait a minute, 84, you got to worry about him too. And that's what they have developing. But it's more than just those two, because you still have Adam Humphries. You know, Jonnu Smith, Firkser, they're continuing to get everybody involved. That's something that Ryan Tannehill has done really well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, A.J. Brown, you can look to him and say he's a budding star in this league, but I think that it's really showing. And how much do you think this offense, we saw what happened against a really good team yesterday. We know about the bugaboos on the defense. But as this offense continues to evolve, do you feel like that they're going to cover up some of the deficiencies of the defense even more by being able to put up the points?
And that's a good question. I don't know that they could continue to cover up the deficiencies, because when you have a team hit 72% conversions on third downs, which was the fourth highest in the league this year, what can an offense do to help that? And I think that's the big issue. It goes back to the defense. They have to figure out ways to get off the field on third down. It's the bottom line. At the same time, you do want the offense to be able to sustained drives, and that's typically what they could do. It didn't happen in the first quarter yesterday, a minute and 21 seconds time of possession, which was the lowest across the league in any particular quarter. And that obviously didn't help the defense. But I don't know that what they're doing on offense could hide that third down deficiency.
How impressed were you, though, at some of the offensive adjustments that they made at the half? Because I wasn't all that impressed with the play calling in the first half, but I'll give credit to the Steelers. The Steelers were scheming it well, but it seemed like Arthur Smith and company made some good adjustments at halftime and opened things up.
Yeah, they started to work that play action and hitting the crossing routes, and that's something that they did in the first half. I think the play calling, I don't really think that was an issue. The problem was, those guys up front, which is Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt specifically, TJ Watt, they were pretty much having their way. with the offensive line. And that's really where the issue was. It wasn't as much play calling as it was just guys at halftime. They had to look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, man, this isn't me. I got people watching. I have to come out and perform. And they did in that second half. That's really, I think, was the major adjustment is guys just started executing. Arthur Smith, I think, throughout the game was pretty solid play calling wise. I mean, they were down 14-0, and he didn't get away from running the football. A lot of times you see coordinators all of a sudden go five wide, they go empty, and they're just throwing the ball. Next thing you know, you have three and out, and guess what? The defense is back on the field. So I think it was a solid showing by Arthur Smith. Now, I will say this, starting to go to the well one too many times with that pass to Derrick Henry out of the backfield, teams are starting to adjust where you see a player, a defensive player, just kind of hang out and go with him. If he goes to a route, they beeline with him. So they're probably going to need to play something off of that. But that's where the adjustments really come to play.
Do you foresee with the being up against the cap, knowing the draft capital and how important that's going to be, especially with the contracts that this team has, they're going to need to get some players through the draft to help offset some of that next year. Do you see him making a move, John Robinson making a move at the trade deadline as it approaches?
It's possible. I tell you one thing I would look at, and I would call Joe Douglas and say, hey, man, what can I give you for Pierre Desir? I think Pierre Desir would be very solid. They need a long, physical outside corner. He fits that bill to a T. And adding him to the roster, I think, will really help that secondary. That's the move that I would make. It's not a huge splash move, right? They're not going out and trading for Darius Slay, but you're getting a corner that is solid and that fits your team's personality. And he happens to know the AFC South pretty well because he spent a couple years with the Colts. So that's what I would do.
All right, we'll see what happens. Teron Davenport, ESPN. Hey, we appreciate it as always. Talking with TD on Wednesday, Nate and TD Friday night at 6.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, but before we go, we'll come back. We'll talk more about this game. Darren, you have a word about DraftKings.
I do. DraftKings is live right here in the state of Tennessee with mobile sports betting. Yes, that's DraftKings. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. This isn't some offshore operation like other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S. With the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up for a limited time, new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That code again, 1025GAME, and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000 only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. Must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Honestly, no. If you look at the film, look at how many times third and long receivers are getting just a free release off the ball. There's no disruption at the line, and I get it. They're playing a lot of zone more recently. But, you know, you can't have a receiver just release right into his route, be able to run his route exactly like it's drawn up on paper. And it makes it so much easier for the quarterback. So, no, I'm not surprised at all because I'm seeing that. And it's just, it's like I said, it's making it easy. And then there are issues as well, as we know, getting to the quarterback, at least getting home and bringing him down. Those are issues. Fortunately, Jeffrey Simmons, for their sake, is doing a good job of getting his hands up and you know, knocking balls down. But it's going to have to get better. It doesn't surprise me.
That was some of our discussions with Teron Davenport. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, This Is What I Know, coming up in about 15 minutes. Vince Ferrara in Knoxville at WNML will discuss the Vols coming up at high noon. We'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, at 12:30. Tennessee will be back out on the road. They've been home for a while. They'll be taking on the Bengals this Sunday. And the line started off as the Titans minus 3.5. That's what it started off at. Do you know where it is today?
When did it start? Like, when was the first day?
Overnight.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Okay.
Is it about 4.5 now?
It's Titans? Up to 5.5.
5.5, is it?
So it started off at 3.5 and basically went up 2 points overnight.
Is there an injury that has happened or something that we don't know? Or did people just jump all over the Titans at that number?
Looks like people have just jumped all over the Titans with that number.
Did you guys see the opening odds for Baltimore and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There are some really intriguing matchups this weekend. This upcoming week in the NFL, I think, has got some really good matchups. So I saw where the Ravens started off at like 6. Do you know where it is right now? 6.5. Yeah, you're right. It was 6.5 in some places. You know where it is right now?
Last I saw it was at 5.
4.
It's at 4 now.
4.
Man, I would jump on Pittsburgh plus 4. I would. After, and maybe that's some recency bias, but I think that's a pretty good team. And I heard the morning guys talking today, you know, doing the rankings of, you know, where do you have Pittsburgh? I think this matchup this week is going to determine number 2.
Well, I think that really should put into context what we expect from the Titans going forward is how good are the Steelers? Do we feel like the Steelers are now in the category of the Ravens and the Chiefs?
Now
that we've seen them up front?
Yeah, no doubt.
I would put them.
I would actually go Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
What is their weakness?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think that's maybe their biggest strength is they don't have a big weakness. I still don't see a team that can really challenge you down the field offensively, but the way their defense is, they don't really need to that much.
Right. And
you've got to be able to get more heat on Ben Roethlisberger. If you do, then I think you can – I think the Ravens will be able to put more pressure on him and make it tougher on their offense.
Yeah, and I think, too, just looking at yesterday in relation to the Titans, I don't necessarily – I've seen some people say, okay, well, Pittsburgh kind of took their foot off the gas. They let the Titans get back in. I don't look at it that way. I think the Titans adjusted and they got back in the game. And so you have to give the Titans some credit there. I think the Titans can beat these good teams if, big if, they clean up the defensive woes. And obviously the kicking game is a conversation for itself. But if they can figure out how to not even make the defense, you know, best in the league, just clean up some things. The third down, make a stop on third down. Like, holy crap. Just make a stop on third down. If they can figure out how to do that, and then the secondary and the pass rush, get it to a respectable level, which it got a little bit better in the second half, then you can beat some of these teams. But that's the question. How do you fix that?
You know, Adoree Jackson will help. I mean, he will help things. He's not fixing that. He's not Logan Ryan. He's not going to help with their sack totals. He provides you some speed in the secondary. But overall, like, how do you fix what we've been talking about today?
I think it starts with this. Okay, the first drive is a 16-play, 75-yard drive for a touchdown, right? But they had the chance, right? If it's third and three and they pick it up, then, hey, it's third and three. That, you know, you're going to give up some of those. But they had the chance after the holding penalty, right? They have third and 11 at the 40-yard line. You know, it's second and 6, they get a holding. So it's second and 16. They throw a short pass to get it to third and 11. That's right where you want to be. That's the play you have to stop. But that's where the drive extends, and then 10 plays later, or however many it was, they score. That's where you have to stop the drive. So that's where you have to start is the third and when the percentages are way in your favor. And they gave up too many, especially in the first half. There were two or three where it's like third and 10, third and 11. Come on. That's where you have to get off the field. it wouldn't seem as bad if you just made the play there. Just, they picked up a 3rd and 14 a little bit later on their second drive, right? 3rd and 14 from the Pittsburgh 35. They go to Ebron for 22 yards.
Right.
I guess when you say clean up or get better, I nobody's going to disagree with that, but.
But how?
How are you going to make Vic Beasley show up and act like, you know, look like he's on the roster? How are you going to make Jadeveon Clowney get sacks? How do you, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is doing his part, but, I mean, what's going to change? I mean, quite honestly, the linebacker play could be more consistent and better overall. I think it's kind of inconsistent. You know, Kamalay, I kind of honestly, I look at the linebacker core and I'm like, Correa couldn't help this team?
Yeah, it surprises me
how he couldn't help that unit. You know, maybe there's something we don't know, but I mean, I don't know how he couldn't help what they're trying to accomplish on defense. I don't know what's really going to change.
Sure,
Teron just said it. I think it was your question, and it's a good question because they are clearly a bend but don't break. And he said, you know, this is not just 6 games into this season. This has been going on for a while. This is basically a Mike Vrabel philosophy. Bend but don't break defense.
But the bend but don't break, you have no problem if you give up some 3rd and 3s and they pick it up and there's some, you know, you're not forcing the 3 and outs, but you have to be able to strike when you have the opportunity. I'm looking at it again here. They had 3 times on the first 2 touchdown drives. Remember, think about how big the first 2 drives of the game are for the Steelers. They had the ball for 13:39 out of 15 minutes, and the second drive extends into the second quarter, right? So the Titans have had the ball 1 time for 3 plays, 12 minutes and 16 seconds left to go in the half, right? And to the Titans' credit, they go down and score a touchdown and stay in the game. So they did a great job on the ropes of hanging in there and giving themselves a chance when it could have been really ugly, because they got off to about as bad a start as you can get off. But during those first 2 touchdown drives, 3 times they had 3rd and double digits, and the Steelers got all 3. Those are just killers right there. A bend but don't break has to be able to stop the 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12.
Yeah,
you
they
have
do.
To. You got to make the tackle short of the change. And as Teron said, there was a couple times where there's a slant. The guy reverses inside out, and the tackler whiffs, and the guy runs after the catch easily past the chains. That's where it's just execution, right? I don't know if it's the defensive call. It's just, okay, we're giving you a pass. If it's 3rd and 11, I'll give you the pass 6 yards down the field. I just got to tackle the guy. And the run after the catch was killing them.
It is execution, but it also ties in to coaching. You guys know, I will – give praise to Mike Vrabel, and I will criticize him when he needs to be criticized. And right now, I think not having a defensive coordinator was a mistake. And you can say, well, Shane Bowen, he's technically he doesn't have the title, and all indications are that it's Vrabel, and that and Shane Bowen's doing the play calling. Fine, but right now they are missing Dean Pease, not just from the standpoint of he's Dean Pease and he's a great defensive mind. It's the fact that they had somebody dedicated to that position. And that's an issue, in my opinion. It's hurting them because it's all about the focus on the teaching part of it. And Vrabel can't be everywhere. He can't be the head coach. He can't go into offensive meetings like he likes to do. He can't go into the defensive meetings. He can't do everything. And so I think that's something you have to really address. And also, you bring up the bend don't break philosophy that he's had. That works when you're going 9-7, when you're getting into the, you know, just trying to get into the playoffs. I don't know if that mentality necessarily always is going to work to try and win championships, win divisions, win the AFC championship. Not taking
anything away from
last year.
But I think if you have a good enough offense, Chase, this is where I would disagree. I think if you had an average offense, I think I would agree with you. But when you have a great offense, and that right now they have a great offense, then the defense I think could work if it's bend but don't break, if they're opportunistic. They have to do better on third down. They are getting their share of turnovers, right? They are way ahead in the turnover ratio. It's one of the best in the league right now. I'd have to look. But that's the idea. right, is if I make you drive 10 plays and I'm solid on D, even if I don't have the personnel to dominate you, then I need to be good in the red zone and I need to be good on third down. And they have not been as good in those areas. That's where they've got to get it fixed. I don't know if they're just going to become a team that just overwhelms you and dominates you like the Steelers defense can. But they may not have to if the offense is good enough. And I think for the first time, with each passing week, you have more and more confidence that this is an elite offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't – I mean, how many times in the history of the Titans since they've been in Nashville have you said that the offense is more dominating than the defense? I mean, yeah, you obviously back in some of the early days with McNair and George, but it was different.
It was still more about the defense.
Right. So, I mean, I think this is truly the first time that you can say, yeah, the offense is carrying the water for this team, but the defense has to do their job. I mean, they have to make those key stops. And, yeah, they get some plays. They get some tip passes and get interceptions, and those are timely plays, but – you got to get the basics, too.
If you give me what they gave you in the second half yesterday, every week, I think that's the idea, right? Get a couple turnovers, make some key stops. You know, don't get over, no big plays against. I think that's the winning formula. That's what you're looking for. I think just give me like an average defense that does a good job in those areas on a day where, you know, you would hope that you get better special teams. The special teams was a big minus yesterday, which is unusual for them.
Absolutely. But let me ask you guys this. If you take yesterday's second half Titans and you put that team up against Pittsburgh again in the playoffs, do you think the result is different?
Yes.
Emphatically?
They gave up 3 points.
They did. I agree.
You win giving up 3 points or 6 points? Two halves of that would be 6 points.
Well, I don't know if in a playoff game it's going to be quite that simple, but my point is if they can consistently play like that, I do think they can beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But can you get a consistent, I'm not even going to say effort because I think the effort's there. Can they consistently play that way for 60 minutes or plus in a big type game? That's got to be the goal for Vrabel and his coaching staff of, okay, how do we make this happen against these big teams? It was the first big test that they've had this year, because up until this point, the teams that they have beaten, they're not on the same level as Pittsburgh. We all knew that. How they adjusted at halftime, that's a plus in my mind, because I didn't like how they came out in the first half, offensively or defensively. They did make adjustments, so you do have to give them credit there. But if they can put that type of second-half effort together for a full 60, then, yeah, I would put this team up against anybody. But that's the big question. Can they do that consistently?
I still don't think they're as far away defensively as it might seem. And once again, I will emphasize, I'm not looking for them to be the 85 Bears defense. That's not going to happen. But I think they can be good enough with just some moderate improvements, because the offense could take them where they need to go. I come out of this, I mean, even without Lawan, I was really impressed with what they were able to get done against the Steelers D, especially falling behind in the Steelers D in a really advantageous position, and they still were productive. So I like their ability to stay at this level offensively.
Did Bud Dupree play yesterday?
Bud Dupree?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Isn't that a real plus for the Titans that you don't really know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty darn good. I didn't really notice him at all. I mean, you talk about them getting back, but just they got dudes. It's like they need more dudes on defense. Like Jeffrey Simmons is a dude. You know, Steelers have T.J. Watt. I mean, they didn't even have Devin Bush. I mean, he's out for the year. Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cameron Hayward. These guys are dudes. Bud Dupree is a dude. They need more of those guys on defense. Agreed? And I don't think that's going to happen this year. I mean, this is something that's going to have to happen in the offseason. I don't think anybody thought Vic Beasley was going to be a dude, but Vic Beasley could help. Jadeveon Clowney was supposed to be a dude.
He's got to give him more.
He's got to give him more. He needs to be a dude. They've paid him and brought him in here for this year to be a dude, a guy that you look at and go, oh, my, okay. We've got to game plan for that. He's got to give them more. But other than that, I mean, I don't know how you're going to get to that level. And I know you guys aren't saying get to the Pittsburgh level. Like, there needs to be somewhere in between. But that's still a pretty good gap between one and the other. It's a pretty sizable gap. I don't know. They'll have to get better. I'm not sure how they're going to get better, but they'll have to get better. All right, we'll come back and finish up this hour with tell us what you know. It's very simple. Wide open canvas, just tell us what you know. We've got a prize to give away. Jump in there, 615-737-1025. Your interaction on the show next.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yep, we do. We want to know what you know. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The best to WIC will get a $25 gift card from Burger Republic. That's a really good gift. And all you have to do is participate. 615-737-1025. Anybody want to start?
I will start.
Okay, go ahead.
This is what I know. One of the things that we love about watching sports is you feel like you've watched a lot, but you still get to see things that you've never seen before. I know that there has never been a field goal that has done what the Rice field goal did at the end of the first overtime. That is impossible.
That was crazy.
That is impossible to do. And yet the impossible became possible. The Rice field goal kicker has a chance to win the game from 45 yards out on Saturday against Middle Tennessee. He hits the right upright, the crossbar, the left upright, the crossbar again, and it bounces to the ground short. And Middle goes on to win the game in the second overtime. What a bizarre thing. But you have got to see. If you haven't seen this, you won't believe what you're going to see.
He could do that 1,000 more times and never duplicate that.
No question. And along the same lines, you see things you've never seen before. You would have thought that the ending to the World Series game that night would have been the craziest thing you saw that day, but it wasn't because of that field goal.
Well, you just stole mine, but that's what I was going to say. This is what I know. Game 4, is that right? Yeah, Game 4 of the World Series. That was about as crazy of an ending as I've ever seen. A pinch hitter. Guy that nobody even knows, batting under 200, a shift is on, hits it in the right spot to Taylor, center field. A single, two errors, two runs to win it, while one of the guys is hung up before home plate on the ground, chewing on dirt, and crawls home and slaps it because of one of the errors. He's dead to right, and the ball skips by the catcher, off the umpire, and he gets to crawl home and slap home plate. It was honestly one of the most bizarre. Like, you don't – I would expect that to see that in 9U.
Yeah.
What we just did this weekend, not at the major league level, not in the World Series. And we watched that in Game 4. It was an incredible ending.
Incredible ending, and it was a great game even before that. Like, it was a classic even before the ending, and then you throw that ending in, and it's an all-timer.
The Rays get a lot of props, man. They just don't go away. They're pretty amazing. They're a fun team to watch. I still think, as I've said from the get-go before the World Series, the Dodgers are going to win it. But I'll tell you what, the Rays have been – they've been better than I thought. I said it would end in probably 5. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But they will not go away. They are, man, they are. And I wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven now. They just don't die.
I was just about to say that.
They just don't die. They do not go away. A real hat tip to them. I think the Dodgers are still going to win it. But I'll tell you what, the Rays are a fun team to watch, even though you look at them and it's like the movie Major League and you go, who are these guys?
Yeah. I mean, there are names that I was, you know, that I've heard, we've all heard, and we go, who? Who is that? But they're gutsy and they don't go away. That was one of I don't know if it was one of the craziest or best endings of a game, but it was certainly fun to see that on Saturday night. So this is what I know. The Tennessee Vols lost by 31 to the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday. The line was 21. So Bama covers, 48-17 the final. But after the game, the head coach of the Vols was asked about his thoughts of this and closing the gap on Alabama. This was his response.
You know, as a fan, no, it shouldn't. As a coach, no, it shouldn't. I promise you, I don't want it to be that way. You know, for us to beat these guys today, we needed to play really clean football. And we needed a couple of things to go our way. That's the truth of the matter. I think a great indication of talent level when you look at your team is look and see who gets drafted, you know. So we have a lot of young guys on our team, and we got some older guys on our team that are continuing to improve. We got to execute at a little higher level, obviously, on both sides of the ball to give ourselves a chance. And the last half of this season will be a great opportunity to see where we're at as far as these guys doing that.
He goes on to say that he's been on both sides of this. He's been on the other side, and he feels like that they are starting to close the gap on Alabama. Dude, you just lost by 31. You're not closing the gap on anything. You just lost by 31. And just to pour some salt in the wound, the Big Ten came back this week. I don't know if you guys realize this. I think you do because of the guy you used to work with. Michigan State, that's a pretty good program. They just lost to Greg Schiano and Rutgers. That's what I know. I don't know how Vols fans put up with this because this has got to change. And I'm not calling for his head. I'm just calling for him to fix it, to get it turned around. And I wasn't even expecting them to go out and beat Alabama, but after getting drilled by Kentucky in an embarrassing loss, I was expecting something a little better. Just show me some emotion. And yet you lose 48-17. Tough to be a Vols fan. That's what I know.
I don't know. It went about what I expected it to go. I didn't expect it to be a whole lot better where they are right now. So,
isn't that part of the problem? That we and I didn't really either. I
was just Alabama's really good.
I know they are. But if you're tasked and we got into this last week and you said 5 years, which I don't think, you know, that's realistic here. You gotta get this turned around, at least compete with some of these schools. Gotta get to a competitive level. I don't consider this competitive right now.
Whenever Ole Miss looks more competitive than you against Alabama, that's kind of a problem, don't you
think?
Bingo.
And if Ole Miss had a defense, they might have beaten Alabama with the way they were putting up points. They got no quarterback. They got holes on defense. They got holes everywhere. And don't give me they're recruiting well. I mean, the recruiting classes are great. It's going to look good here in a few years. Well, I hope it does. I hope it does.
Let's go to Wayne, who's called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wayne, what do you know?
I'm going to go along the same boundaries, and I think that Jeremy Pruitt needs to bring Jarrett Garantano into his office and say, we thank you for your service, and we wish you the best of your future endeavors.
And you go with who?
Whoever's next up. I'm a Vols fan. I really don't care. I'm just sick and tired of watching Garantano. Yeah, I was at the game Saturday, and it's like watching the Titans' defense on third down, if we want to make another analogy. Every time he dropped back to pass, you could hear the entire stadium take a gasp of, please don't just be picked off for six.
He actually played much better Saturday, did you think, given the fact that who they were playing against? Yeah, he had some pretty nice throws there.
But I'm one of those people of, if you're going to move on, let's just move on. if we have all these holes that everybody just discussed, which I agree with, then we just need to start trying to plan for next year. I'm sick and tired of waiting till week 7 and we're still getting drilled. It's like, okay, well, if we're going to get drilled, let's at least get some people some experience.
Wayne, we are going to use your call as a springboard into the next hour, so thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Nate quickly. Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. Willie stole my thunder. I was going to bring it like saying, hey, each year after Cody Parkey, we just improve on the doink. I mean, what, is next year going to be 5? And the year after that, we're going to have a 6th doink hitting a goal post on each side twice? I mean, it was crazy to see. But, yeah, Willie, you stole my thunder.
It went from 2 to 4. Like, I don't think we saw the double doink. Has there ever been even 3? Forget about 4.
The
this,
triple
this was
doink.
4. Yeah.
The quadruple doink.
This was quadruple. I don't know if we've ever seen a triple.
I think we have, but if we haven't, then, man, we're in for a ride next year.
All right. Crazy for sure. Let's come back. We'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville to start the third hour. Heavy third hour. We're going to talk Vols. We're going to hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. It's all coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.